Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 3 tonight. Second Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 17 and 18 to start with. But we will not stay here. We'll look at some other verses. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Father, again, we do thank you for the evening we can have together. Thank you for the safety you gave your people as they traveled in. And thank you, Father, for what you're going to speak to our hearts about tonight. And we do thank you, Father, that every time your word is open, we know that we're going to hear from heaven. Because, Lord, we come with hearts prepared, ears ready to hear, and a will that wants to, Father, accomplish your will and follow your will and apply your word to our lives. Father, we ask that you bless the children as always. Lord, open up their hearts and minds to the teaching of the word of God. Help them to have fun, Lord, in KidVenture. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to draw them unto Christ and continue to draw us unto Christ, Lord, helping us to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." As Peter ends his letter here to the Christians that are scattered abroad, he says that they already know these things that he has already mentioned in the previous verses. They already know these things, and so that they will stand firmly rooted in the truths of the teachings of God, he warns them to beware of those that could lead them astray, to be aware of the wicked, the devices of the devil that could change our doctrines, that could change our beliefs, that could cause us not to put on the whole armor of God daily, cause us not to be ready with the mind of Christ, to not try the spirits as we're told in the scripture, but just to receive everything that is being said. He says to beware. Not that we don't already know these things, but again, our faith is always being attacked. And tonight I want us to think about, as I gave the title to the message tonight, stay vigilant against error. Stay vigilant against error, because the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more error is going to be received by Christians, as it is just given to them as truth when it is not truth. Those that are not walking in the Spirit, those that are not walking closely with the Lord, but do know Jesus Christ as their Savior, being led astray. As even Paul would write his epistle to the Galatians, and he would warn them of just what they were kind of going away from the Lord, and they were believing these other teachings that were being taught to them by false prophets. He warned them. The Lord warns us in Scripture of false teachings, of false ways, because the Lord wants us to be steadfast in the truth, steadfast in the ways of the Lord, steadfast in our faith, never doubting. And one thing the Lord uses many times in the lives of young people, and just in really in all ages, it really starts in young people, is rules. Rules. As a teenager, I didn't like rules, therefore I didn't abide by the rules, and therefore I got into a lot of trouble. But you know what? That can carry on into the adult life where, you know what, we sit there and say, that church has rules and all this, and I don't want to follow rules, and, you know, that church is legalistic and stuff. But honestly, every establishment has rules. Every establishment has rules. God has a rule for how someone can become born again. And if we don't follow that rule, we won't be born again. No one can be born again without putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we go to Walmart, Walmart has a set of rules that they want the customers to abide by. Rule number one, don't steal anything. Right? It's a good rule because they make money off of their merchandise. If people are constantly stealing, they're losing money. There's also rules of wearing shoes and wearing a shirt to go into stores and restaurants. I mean, there are some good rules. But the devil wants us, and I say us just in general as people, but also as Christians, to hate rules. But yet we follow rules in the workplace. We want people in relationships with us to follow rules, right? As a husband, my wife has a rule. And the Lord, and she has a rule that the Lord obviously has in his word that I would not commit adultery against her. That's a good rule, isn't it? So rules are good, and the Lord gives some rules to protect his flock, to protect his people, to help us not to be taken advantage of by the adversary, not to be led astray by the adversary, but that we would continue to know the truth. We would continue to grow in the Lord. So there are rules that are good. And the Lord says in verse 17, beware, beware. That's a warning. It's a warning, beware, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. The Lord wants you and myself to remain steadfast in the right way, steadfast in our relationship with the Lord, steadfast in believing the Lord is trustworthy and I can truly count on the Lord in my life. And there are three rules I want us to think about as we think about Peter writing, fall from your own steadfastness, you know, not to fall from your own steadfastness. The Lord wants us to be steadfast in our faith and in our relationship with him, in believing and trusting the word of God and truly letting it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Rule number one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, where the Lord says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. The first rule is to protect us from error. There are rules to protect us from the error of the wicked. And the Lord says, be not deceived. The Lord does not want us to be deceived. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be sober. He wants us to be aware, again, that we have an adversary that is going to continue to fight against us, is going to continue to try to lead church kids, and I say church kids, away from the truth, as well as those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and he will use the excuse of rules, to cause anybody to distance himself from the truth, because the devil is all about gratifying the flesh. That's exactly what he said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when he said, yea, hath God said, right? He planted the seed of doubt in their minds. And then as Eve is staring at the fruit, she saw it was something that was pleasing to the eyes, something that she thought would benefit the flesh, benefit herself. Therefore, she disobeyed God. She followed the error of the wicked, and the devil being the utmost of the wickedness, he being the wicked, the most wicked of all God's creations. Now, when you think about what he says again in 1 Corinthians 15, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Again, God does not want us to be corrupt. God wants us to be holy, as he calls us to be holy because he is holy. But we're reminded of Lot and how Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. One lie of the devil is, I can watch anything and be okay. We are affected by everything we see and hear, good or bad. We are affected by it, good or bad. And as God's people, we should have a desire that I don't want to put anything before my eyes that's wicked. I don't want to listen to anything that's wicked as well, because God says in His Word we shouldn't even talk about the things done in darkness. But yet people feast on darkness through TV shows, through movies, through listening to music, listening to people talk about things. I mean, there was a time even when the news media, when they actually reported the truth, they would not go into gory detail. But it seems like the news nowadays, they go into all the gory detail of what has happened to a child or an adult that is taken advantage of. And what does that do? What does it do to listen to the gory stuff? It puts images in your mind. And even sometimes people will even voluntarily sit down and watch gory stuff on TV, ungodly stuff, and it affects the soul. It affects the heart. And God says, beware. Yes, it is a warning in 2 Peter for the believers to beware of false teachers. But we know that. We already know as Christians that we're not to listen to false teachers, those that do not believe Jesus Christ is the one way of salvation. We know not to listen to people on TV who are religious and do not believe the way that we believe. But it's also a warning. Again, the devil has many devices to get into the minds and hearts of God's people, and we have to beware. Don't allow yourself or myself to be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Look at, you're in 2 Peter, just go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 8. And it is a warning. God warns us, but I'm just going to be honest. We're living in a day and age where Christians kind of thumb their nose up at the things of God. Many ages just, it's amazing. I do, because I love to hear preaching myself, not me preaching. I love to hear other preachers preach. And I was listening to somebody today, I was watching them, and you know, they have the cameras that kind of pan the sanctuary and stuff. I'm glad we don't have cameras, but they had cameras that would even kind of zoom in on people. You know, they're writing in their Bibles or writing notes and stuff. And yet you see those who are not interested in what's being said. As this pastor was preaching on, and I've preached on the subject as well, that there's a battleground in our lives, and that battleground is the mind, how the devil wants to get into the minds of God's people. He wants to take the mind of God's people, and he does it through different avenues, like I've already mentioned, music, TV, all kinds of things, whatever the devil can do to get into the minds. And the pastor is warning the people of the devices of the devil, and as the camera kind of pans the sanctuary, the people and stuff, you see some people just, you know, kind of doing something else, checking their time, you know, just kind of yawning. I mean, they're totally disinterested in the warning that's being given. I'm not saying that of you. I'm just saying that people in general who don't really care about the things of God, they don't care about their spiritual state, they don't take any heed to the warning. They think it's foolish. And he was mentioning things to beware of that the devil uses. Again, that was kind of Lot's attitude towards Sodom. It's not that he didn't know what the city of Sodom was all about. It's just because he viewed it every day. Eventually, he moves his family into one of the most wickedest cities of Sodom, that he gets to a place where when those angels come to town, you know, he's one of the ones sitting in the gate. He's a leader now of the city. He calls them men, the angels, into his house because he says, you know, it's not good for you to dwell in the streets during the night. But when the men of the city come pounding on his door and say, send out those men to us that we may know them. And I don't have to explain that to the adults. You know what that means. Lot has gone so far away from God in his mind that he tells them, I'll bring out my daughters to you instead. You understand what kind of loving father would do that, throw his daughters to the wolves? And some might say, well, he's trying to protect the angels. The angels can protect themselves. But what I want us to understand is that because Lot, his soul was vexed by wickedness that he didn't think was a big deal, he gets to a place where he doesn't really even care about his own kids. God is still warning us today that there is a devil who wants to corrupt our minds. And we as parents that are still raising kids have to teach our children there is evil in the world. You want to know why I don't let my kids play outside without me out there? It's because there are evil men that will drive by and kidnap them. But it seems like, and I'm not saying this about anybody here, I'm just giving you some examples. As a loving parent who will protect their children, yet those same loving parents will let those kids watch anything they want on TV, listen to anything they want on the radio, go anywhere they want to, without really thinking about the dangers of evil people in the world. Doesn't mean we hide and we're scared, but just as the Lord is warning us of spiritual danger, we've got to be aware of physical danger as well. Again, Lot chose to move into Sodom, and it cost him his family. His wife ends up turning to salt. His daughters do wicked things. Lot doesn't even care about the Lord anymore, yet, listen, he had some godly influence in his life. His uncle Abraham was a godly influence, but when they separated, Lot kind of separated himself from God as well. Lot didn't have his own walk with God. He kind of rode on the coattails of Abraham. And some people do that. They ride on the spiritual coattails of somebody else, and then when they're all by themselves, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to defend themselves. They don't know how to trust the Lord. They don't know how to cry out to the Lord. And God is warning, be not deceived. Second thing, Jesus warns us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. So rule number one, don't be deceived. Rule number two, watch out. Watch out. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. You already know who the thief is, the devil. Again, the Lord gives warnings in Scripture that we are to be careful. Be careful because we can be deceived. Be careful, there is someone who wants to steal your life. He wants to steal your life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to kill your life. And I look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, the third rule. The third rule to protect us from error, is found in Matthew 7:15. And this is where Jesus warns us of false prophets, those that would bring a false gospel, a false message to lead people astray and to really keep people blinded from the truth. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This is generally what we think about when we read Scripture that we are told to beware, we're told to, you know, don't be deceived. We think of the religious people who claim to be religious, claim to be of the Lord, that would deceive us. We're like, oh, no way. I know my Bible. But God says we've got to be vigilant against the error that would cause us to do physical things as well as spiritual against the Lord. But again, the Lord warns us, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Again, we do live among those today because there are false religions, false denominations that promote you live your life however you want to and God has to bless you and forgive you. Live like the world, and it's okay. But when we read Scripture, that's not the message that we get from the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says, of these false prophets, these false teachers, that they have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power of God upon their life. You and I know, and I hope you know, that the Holy Spirit of God that's in you will never lead you to do anything contrary to the nature of God. Because God is holy and God calls us to be holy. God calls us to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If someone is teaching that someone can live in the flesh and be okay, then they're a false teacher, and you know that. Again, we shun those that we know are teaching false doctrine, but yet many of God's people are just feasting on false doctrine through movies, through TV shows, through pornography, drinking, all the things that are of the world that God tells us to refrain from. And somebody, as I have heard people say, even to me, that's legalistic. You can't tell people what to do. God does. And it's for our good. It's for our protection. Again, why, when I was 3 years old, did my mom tell me, don't touch the stove? Because she was legalistic, full of rules. And as a three-year-old, I know what's best. Therefore, I put my hand on top of the stove and got burned and wished I had never done it. There are rules to protect. You know what? God doesn't call them rules. He calls them warnings. Beware. Now, the devil wants to, you know, help us think that God's mean. You realize it's human nature to want what you don't have? It's human nature. God says it's sin nature. Because I want us to understand, and I keep bringing up Adam and Eve. Because some people say, well, if we had the perfect environment, there'd be no sin. Well, God gave Adam and Eve the perfect environment. There was no sin. They didn't even know they were naked until after they ate the fruit. They didn't even know good and evil until after they ate the fruit. God gave them everything they needed. But when they were tempted to sin, they chose to sin. God gave them an abundance of fruit. He said, you can eat of any tree except one. But as adults, we know that sometimes it's that one thing that we want. We have everything else, but why is it we're drawn to the one thing we don't have? Because we have an adversary who helps us to focus on the one thing that we don't have or can't have instead of the blessings that God's given us. Again, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Again, it's not just the religious crowd. The devil will use anything and anybody to draw or try to draw us away. And those that are not grounded in truth and not grounded in their relationship with the Lord, they're easily drawn away. Easily drawn away. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God has a rule that, you know what, we should not get our advice and counsel from unbelievers, those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, those who do not believe in God, period. We shouldn't be going to them and asking them advice. Why? Because they're not going to give godly advice. Now, for most of us, what I'm saying tonight, we already know. But we're still tempted to do what we think instead of what God says. Again, to protect us from error. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. God wants us to remain steadfast in truth. Because didn't Jesus say truth will set you free? The Bible tells us truth will set us free. And what is truth? God is truth. His word is truth. The devil is a liar and he's the father of it, and that's what the Lord said about him. Look at James chapter 4. So God warns us. God doesn't want us to be blindsided. God doesn't want us to follow the wicked. He doesn't want us to be led astray. He wants us to become grounded and remain grounded in the truth, in our faith, in following the Lord, in trusting the Lord, and living our life for the Lord. In James chapter 4, you look at verse 7 and 8. Because someone may have the question, okay, what do we do then? What do we do about not being deceived, about being vigilant, about the thief watching that we're not, again, led astray or are not misguided, that we don't believe things that are false, but that we truly follow the ways of the Lord? What are we to do? Well, James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That word submit, people don't like that. People don't like submitting to authority. People want to do their own thing. Even in the workplace, you know them, those that don't want to work, but they still want the paycheck. Those that don't want to submit 100% to the marriage because they want to do what they want to do. That word submit is not liked by many people because the devil himself did not submit to his created purpose. His created purpose was to glorify God and lead all the other angels in worshiping and glorifying God. He didn't want to do it. He did it for a short space until he realized, you know what, I want all the glory. Therefore, he helps people feel like, you know what, you don't need to submit. You need to live your own life. Do what you want. God knows that you'll enjoy your life. Again, that's what he told Eve. God knows as soon as you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. You'll know what's good. You'll know what's evil. And the devil was right. The Lord does know. He knows everything. And yes, the Lord knew that they would become aware of what's right and wrong, good and evil, but that's not what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted them to obey him, to trust him, to choose him over themselves and over what somebody else was telling them. So submit. It is, it always has been, by faith. Again, when someone first puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they have to submit to the truth. They are a sinner without hope. They are a sinner on their way to a hell that God prepared for the devil and his angels. But because people reject Christ, they die in their sins without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only alternative there is, because they rejected God and everything he is. Because they would not submit to the truth. Again, God tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God. It truly is, admit I'm wrong, he's right. And he's always right. And I know that he loves me. I know that he has my best interest at heart. Because remember, the Bible tells us that God does not have evil thoughts towards us, but he has good thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace towards you and towards me because of his love, because of his grace. But we have to submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Again, just as there are three rules I mentioned to protect ourselves from error, and that is really to follow the ways of the Lord. You can just sum it all up with trust God and follow him. There are three rules I want us to think about tonight in order to be guarded and blessed. There are three rules in order for us to be guarded and to be blessed. And rule number one is submit to God. That's not a bad rule. Some people think it is. Some people, I don't want anyone to have authority over me again. Children and teenagers are bombarded with this, submitting to authority. Because as a parent and as a grandparent, you know what it is. We expect our kids to obey when we tell them to do something, but they don't always obey right away, right? And sometimes we'll even tell them, as I've told mine over the years, you know, to obey right away is to show that you believe in Jesus, but also for you to be happy. Because if you don't obey, you're not going to be happy. But again, you know, we teach our children to obey, and they do, and sometimes they don't, right? Sometimes they kind of test the limits. How far can I go with not obeying, with not moving when I'm told to move? They have to submit to the authority of the parent. And God wants us to submit to him, to his word, to his ways. Again, it's for our good. It's for the good of God's people. It's for us to continue to have close relationships with the Lord, to hear his voice clearly, to be directed by the Holy Spirit. But we're living in a day and age where more and more of God's people could care less. Again, I'm not saying anybody in here. I'm just saying in general, because that's the age we're living in, and it's causing children who are growing up in Christian homes not to care about the things of God because they don't see it's a really big deal with the parents. And we have to be careful. Even with our grandchildren, we have to be careful. We have to be careful with ourselves, submitting ourselves to God. That's God says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Number two, resist the devil. And again, someone might, you know, say, well, how do I resist the devil? I don't see him. Well, you're never going to see him until the day we see him bow his knee before Christ and be cast into a lake of fire. But you're not ignorant of his devices. God tells us we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he does in our life. We know how he tries to get us to go contrary, to go away from the ways of God. Again, I don't really need to go make a whole list of things that would be contrary to the Lord. You know what's right and wrong. You know what's good and evil. And what does God want us to choose? What's good? What's right? He wants us to walk in righteousness. He wants us to eschew evil. So resist the devil. And as I wrote that down, was thinking about it, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, verse 6 came to mind. Trust in the Lord and with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. That means there's not one single way in our life, one single decision, that we are not to acknowledge God and seek God's wisdom and God's direction. There's not one single thing. But we're tempted to not go to God. We're tempted not to trust God. We're tempted to think, well, God doesn't care about this. Again, it is a device of the adversary to keep us from having a closer relationship with God, and that's God's desire. Do you know that tonight? God's desire is to have a closer relationship with you. That's why when God already knew Adam and Eve were going to sin, he still gave them an opportunity to choose between listening to God, because they already knew what God had said. When the devil said, "Yea, hath God said," Eve said, "God said that we're not to eat this fruit." She said some other things too, but she knew what God had said. But instead of resisting what she was hearing from something and somebody else, she allowed herself to make a decision based on what somebody else was saying instead of what God had already said. Again, just reminds, God's already spoken. How many blessings have you seen in your life this year so far? How many prayers have been answered so far? Because we're only first day of February. And I've got examples I can't give you. Nobody in here. I'm just saying. The devil will continue until we die or the rapture, until he's cast in the lake of fire. He will continue to fight against you and your faith and you submitting to God and you truly giving your entire life to the Lord and start drawing nigh to God, because that's the third rule. The third rule for us to be guarded and blessed, it's in verse number 8 of James chapter 4. Draw nigh to God. Again, I hear people say, rules. They don't like rules. They don't want to follow rules. That church has too many rules. I get it. I understand there are some churches that are way out there. They're like, they're not on the straight and narrow with Scripture. They kind of, they've added some rules that's not said in Scripture. And some are silly rules. But God's rules are still good, because God is spiritually warning us to be protected, warning us to be aware. He says, draw nigh to God. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So if we want God to draw nigh to us, we have to follow the rule that we are to draw nigh to him. But we can't draw nigh to him if we don't finish the rest of the verse. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, those things we do that are contrary to what God likes. If we're doing things that are contrary to the ways of the Lord and contrary to his nature and contrary to what his word has told us, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we're to stop doing the things that are contrary to the Lord, and we're to stop allowing evil to influence our hearts. Because listen, whatever has control of your heart and my heart will lead us. Either lead us in the right way or the wrong way. Help us to have the right thinking or the wrong thinking. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, there's a good rule. And I'm using the word rule tonight because, again, it's the word that so many Christians use to justify why they stop going to church, why they're not reading their Bible, why they're not doing this or that, is because somebody told them, you shouldn't do that. Again, we follow rules when we go into stores, when we go to work, anywhere else. And yet the rules of the world are not to protect you spiritually or physically most of the time. Definitely not spiritually, but God's rules are. God's rules are. I mean, you're driving down the road, driving down a back road, back country road. Never been down that road before, but you're driving down it. And there's a sign that says, road closed, bridge out. And the person just drives past and says, I ain't listening. I'm not listening to what that sign says. I'll do my own thing. What's going to happen? It may seem like a silly illustration, but it's true. A sign that's so blatant like that, many people do. And they end up destroying their lives. But again, God has a rule for us to be forgiven and cleansed of our sins. If we confess our sins. I don't know about you, but it's a good feeling to know my sins have been forgiven. It's a good feeling to know that because I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I'm on my way to heaven. And not only that, but I have him with me. I have his spirit inside of me, helping me, guiding me, helping me to understand scripture, helping me to even know when something's wrong, but I can't quite see what's wrong. It's just, man, something doesn't seem right. And you kind of avoid danger. Right? It's a good thing to avoid danger. But again, God has his rules, and his rules are for our protection and for our good. And we want to stay vigilant against the error from without and from within. Because we can deceive our own self. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know? We can convince our own self that something is right. Again, it's been happening since the Garden of Eden. Convincing ourselves that something's right when in reality it is wrong, it is deadly. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. I just want us to be reminded tonight and really think about how vigilant we are with our life, how vigilant we are with our spiritual walk with the Lord, how vigilant we are against the adversary who is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You might think, well, Pastor, this is a pretty depressing message tonight. Well, no, because let's end with this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not deceived. You don't have to be led astray because you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You actually have somebody who knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end, and he's on your side guiding your steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He's guiding you through this life. So even though you may not can tell or may not know somebody's evil intentions against you, he does. And he'll protect you and he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you discernment. But we still have to beware. We're still living in a sin-cursed, wicked world that he has called us out of. He's called us out of it. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. He wants us to be peculiar. He wants us to be the shining lights, and he doesn't want us to be deceived, and we don't have to be because we have the light of Christ in us.